This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center and NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبه نستعين. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا والشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. قال الله العظيم في محكم كتابه الكريم والقول والحق والأصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. First of all, a blessed Jummah to all of you. Thanks for joining our program this afternoon. I thought to reflect a little bit this afternoon in regards to the significance and the sacredness of these really important days within our tradition, the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, as we walk into the day of Arafah, which is to be coincided with Monday, as well as into the day of Eid on Tuesday. When we take a look at Islamic tradition, there's a strong emphasis on particular days throughout the calendar year. Some days that have greater significance in terms of us having the potential to build out our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the idea is that we utilize the days and the times, days like Friday, for instance, to spend in seeking knowledge toward performing extra acts of worship or reciting salawat upon the Prophet and his family, peace and blessings be upon them. And there are specific traditions that are given to us and taught to us by our saints and by our teachers that advise certain rituals to be performed on certain days because there's an opportunity for it to maximize our reward during the course of these days. And during these first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, we see that there is strong emphasis on specific acts of ritual, like that of prayers, like that of fasting, of course, with the exception of the day of Eid al-Adha, like recommended adhkar or seeking of forgiveness in ways that parallel many a time, even the holy month of Ramadan. Of course, we know that there is no days that are as sacred and as beautiful as the days of the month of Ramadan and the sacredness of the nights of Layal al-Qadr, for instance. But nonetheless, we can treat these days and these eves as nights of revival. Spiritual revival, because we know that these hearts of ours, it's really hard for them to find a clean slate where it's consistently building upon the spiritual advances that we make in our day-to-days. In other words, what I'm trying to state is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to connect with Him during these nights and during these days, more so than other times. And God knows that many of us, and I speak to myself before anyone else, we need that. We need that extra inspiration, and we need that extra motivation many a time, because it's really hard to always feel inclined toward acts of worship, toward obedience, toward servitude, toward building a relationship with our Creator. To put it in simpler terms, spirituality is really tough. It's difficult to navigate many a times. Again, we go through ups and downs during the course of our lives, and relationships, finances, studies, exams, you know, different situations that we fall ourselves into, all of these things, they truly, definitely impact our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one is going through hardship, if one is going through hunger, how can they spend that time in communication, in munajat, in a whispered prayer with the Lord of the worlds in the darkness of the night, when their minds are occupied with something else? When someone has experienced death, mortality, illness, sickness, sometimes we might feel more inclined toward calling out to God. Yes, but for others, they may feel more distant depending on the circumstances and situations that they're in. And I'm here to tell you that's okay sometimes. It's okay to not always feel your best. It's not always bad to not feel that relationship that you have with God as you're prostrating or supplicating to Him during the nights of Ramadan, or the first time you saw the Holy Kaaba, or the first time, for those of you who have had the opportunity to go for Hajj, made dua on the plains of Arafat. Those locations, those places, those sacred spaces, they make us feel connected with God in ways that we could never imagine. And once in a while, it's okay to utilize those experiences of the past as a pick-me-up for the future. In other words, once in a while, if our hearts are not so inclined, we have a roadmap to follow by the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, in which he states, "Inna lil-qulubi iqbalan wa idbara." That sometimes your hearts are in a state of receptivity. You feel more motivated. You feel more inspired. You want to read. You want to study. You want to learn your religion. You want to pray. You want to supplicate. When you're feeling that motivation, make sure that you jump on that opportunity. You can't sleep in the middle of the night. You wake up and you realize it's half an hour till Fajr time. Wake up. Make wudu. Maybe God wants you to worship Him in those weaning hours of the night, because this religion is a religion of states. Spirituality is all about that extra motivation and inspiration that you might have at certain times during the course of the year. إِنَّ لِلْقُلُوبِ إِقْبَالًا وَإِدْبَارًا. Sometimes these hearts are receptive and sometimes they're rejecting. You don't feel that motivation. You don't feel that inspiration. فَحْمِلُوهَا عَلَى الْفَرَاثِ. So during those moments, only stick towards that which is obligatory. Just make sure that you're praying. Make sure that you're fulfilling your, you know, religious rituals, the halal and the haram, staying away from that which is forbidden. But you don't need to exert yourself any more than that. And that's okay, right? Because again, this religion of Islam, the life of the Prophet of God, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is meant to be something practical. لِلْمُؤْمِنْ ثَلَاثُ سَاعَاتٍ. And another tradition states that for the believer, there are three times whereby they should split up their day. The first part of their day, they should communicate with God. There has to be some prayers. There has to be some focus. There has to be some mindfulness. There has to be some sort of relationship and connection that we're making with God. Otherwise, we're losing sight of the day entirely. But even if it's a portion. Secondly, the second portion of the day of the believer should be in fulfilling responsibilities and chores, going to work, going to school, doing the laundry, washing the dishes. We have to do these things because that's just the way that it is. That's how life goes. We need to sleep, we need to eat. And the third part of the day of the believer is meant to do whatever you wish, as long as it's halal, as long as it's permissible, as long as you enjoy it. You like to go out for a run or go out for a walk or spend time with family members or spend time with friends. As long as those settings are permissible, there's nothing wrong with doing any of these things. But again, as long as we start and keep in mind that a portion of the day needs to be dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's all good, so to say. And I give you all of this as a reflection for us to really also think about then again the significance of these days. Because going back to that tradition of states that sometimes the hearts are receptive, sometimes they're rejecting. When they're receptive, jump on that opportunity and make sure that you're doing more. But when the hearts are rejecting, just stick to the basics. But what happens when that heart is consistently stuck, whereby it never feels that added motivation or inspiration? That's the problem. And that's the big question that we need to ask. And that is precisely when we need days of spiritual revival, when we need the opportunities like these days in the month of the Hajj, or at the very least, the upcoming day of Arafah, a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks to see who from amongst His creations will sit and stand and bow and prostrate and supplicate to Him and seek forgiveness from Him, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up these hearts, soften them, so that we have that ability to be in that spiritual high, so to say, for an extended period of time. We need once in a while things to wake us up. We need sometimes to throw ourselves into the fire, so to say, so that we feel that motivation and that inspiration that we might have previously been lacking. You can't solely like the idea of eating healthy and exercise. I often give this example. You can like the idea and it sounds really good, even though it's really hard to practice. You can talk about how great of an idea that it is for an extended period of time, but once in a while, you just need to stop yourselves from eating the unhealthy foods and from remaining stagnant in front of our computers to actually go out and eat healthy and exercise. That's the way that it goes. Once in a while, you just need to jump into it. I tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful of those who show mercy. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most kind of those who emanate kindness. He's the most generous of those who show generosity. And that when we truly want to find Him, and when we want to take those necessary strides and steps to seek Him, Azza wa Jal, then when you take that one step, then you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will run to you. And that when we strive in His way, He will facilitate and make that pathway wide and open and easy and simple for us to take benefit from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear sisters and brothers, on these days of the month of the Hijjah, we have an opportunity to walk in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim, who was known for his submission, who was known for his servitude. God tells him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, that tell and proclaim the pilgrimage to the people. Who was around Ibrahim? Nobody. Yet he stood on top of that hill and he looked to the east and he looked to the west and he looked to the north and he looked to the south and he told people, come for the Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates after Ibrahim submits. He tells Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave Ismail and Hajar and to go back to Sarah. In that state of submission, Ibrahim does what he does, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated. Of course, with the water of Zamzam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim to submit and sacrifice his child. And like we know, he made that act of submission, Ibrahim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْأَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And when we have God consciousness and taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always facilitate. During these days, during these eves of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, my dear sisters and brothers, it's important that we keep in mind that if we take those strides to finding God and to knowing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will grant us that opportunity to truly be exposed to the light of His being. And what we should be doing during the course of these last few days, and again, I remind myself before any of you all, is that leading up to the day of Arafah, this upcoming Monday, do your best to reflect, to contemplate, to ask for forgiveness, to be more concerted and diligent with regards to your prayers. With regards to my prayers, recite some extra Quran during the course of these days leading up to the day of Arafah so that our hearts are softened, so we can take benefit of the light and the beauty that has the potential again to descend into our souls on that day. So that on the day of Eid, again, which falls on Tuesday, we have that opportunity to enter into a pure state and enter into a state of utter and absolute conviction, walking in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, who is in a state of demonstrating servitude and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every opportunity that he had during the course of his life. During these 10 nights, or these final now 5 nights or so of the month of Dhul-Hijjah leading up to the day of Eid al-Adha, let us use them as a spiritual revival. Let us utilize them as an opportunity to grant us that much needed inspiration, momentum, motivation for us to feel inclined toward conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we can, on Monday, on the day of Arafah, if possible, it's highly recommended to fast. So for those of you, for those of us who can fast on the day of Arafah, that's great. If you cannot, it's no worries. It's a recommended act. And that where we can, for instance, even abstain from food and drink as much as we would normally indulge in, that itself is also a good deed and task, or giving wealth, money and charity, those for those who are underprivileged and underfortunate. In addition, please be on the lookout for emails from the Islamic Center with regards to the Udhiyah campaign that we are pushing out towards supporting individuals all across the world who can benefit from the sacrifice that we distribute during the course of these days leading up to the day of Eid al-Adha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and for all of those who are going through difficulty and for going through hardship. And there's a message in the chat with regards to Brother Jihad, who was just diagnosed with kidney failure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a quick recovery, inshallah, and to grant his family patience and strength during this difficult time. And for all of those who are undergoing hardships, undergoing illnesses, undergoing financial difficulties, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them all ease after their difficulty and to give us the tawfiq to continue to seek proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the course of these days. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.